Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
How's it going, guys? What's up, Blash? How's it going?
What's going on, man? We had an interesting week. The week of May 5th is what the week we're going over. There's a lot to get to.
Yeah, definitely. So the name of this episode is The Call to Arms. A lot of young prospects coming up and showing us that, you know, they can join us and be competitive as well. So we have been the number one pitching prospect, 21-year-old Paul Skenes, coming up to the MLB. This past Saturday was his major league debut against the Cubs. This guy's 6'6", right, with a .99 ERA in his last seven starts in AAA, striking out 42.9% of the hitters he's faced across 27 and a third innings. He's ready to go. Top of the rotation type guy. So apparently 2 years ago, when Skenes was a two-way player for the Air Force Academy, he posted an 8-inning, 10-strikeout start against San Jose State. And he was able to reach base 7 times over the final 2 games of that series. That's very interesting because he has Ohtani status. But for some reason, the Pittsburgh Pirates decided that he's only going to pitch for them at this moment. And that makes me wonder why. It's interesting, don't you think so? Like, you have a guy like Ohtani doing amazing things and becoming America's sweetheart, right, over the last couple of years. So why can't Skenes be that guy that competes against Ohtani? What do you think, Lash?
No, I think it's interesting as to why Pittsburgh won't allow him to hit as well. I think they're worried that he could get hurt. You know, if you allow a guy to get hit, you know, he get hurt running the base, he could get hurt sliding, anything can go wrong. So I think my opinion is, I think it's more about just protect him because his strength is his pitching, not his hitting. So I think that's the reason why they're not going to allow him to hit as well. You know, he's young, so he's got a long way to go. Maybe 2 years from now, they'll allow him to hit once they realize, all right, we got a reliable starter and, he's doing his thing. Maybe they'll allow him. But for now, I think it's all about protecting your assets and, keep it safe.
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I agree, I guess, in a sense, but if you're that good of a, hitter, man, why not? But it's okay. He's gonna come up, he's gonna do his thing, he's gonna try to figure it out. And the funny thing about this guy is that he played for the Air Force Academy. So in his third year of competition there, right, he decided that he wasn't gonna move forward with the academy because that would mean the Air Force would have locked him in for 2 years of service, right? There's a 2 years of service commitment when you lock in for one. So that would have caused them to not be able to get into the draft a lot faster. So he decided that he was going to transfer to LSU, right? And he became a member of the 2023 College World Series. And they were champions. So, you know, I guess he made the right decision there. And being in a competitive, you know, mindset and being able to compete for that team during a big challenge was good for him. You know, he was able to debut a year after he was drafted. So that's pretty impressive on his part, you know. They had incentives for him. They, you know, because they, you know, as you know, college pitchers pitch once a week. So they wanted him to be able to pitch every 4 days and be competitive prior to bringing him up. But he was able to, you know, fulfill those demands. And he's out here. He pitched last Saturday and he was able to do his thing. He struck out the first two hitters he faced in the major leagues. And he went 6 innings, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, and a 4-inning outing for him. He was unable to get the game, win the game, because he only went up to the 4th inning. And, you know, Major League rules state that you have to pitch at least 5 innings to get the win. But he threw 84 pitches, right? He had an amazing fastball. He was able to hit the clock on 96 miles per hour or better 27 times. And he was able to throw 102 mile per hour fastball in the first inning, which is pretty crazy. He was able to throw at least 117 times during the game. So the man has an arm, you know. Like I said, the Pittsburgh Pirates were able to win 6-1, right? No, excuse me. They were up 6-1, but he was put in the fourth, so he didn't get the win. But, yeah, I'm impressed, you know. Like I said, I wish that they would have said, you know what, this guy is good enough to hit. Pitch. Let's make him a two-way player in the MLB, but they decided not to go with that. And I guess you're right. You know, they want to protect their asset. They want to make sure that, you know, he doesn't get hurt along the way, and they want to make sure that this guy is definitely the future of the ball club. This is something you can definitely build around, you know. He's a number one, you know, starter in the rotation in my eyes, you know. And Pittsburgh has been, you know, they've had trouble. In the last 30 years, they were able to make the playoffs 3 times. Obviously, they didn't win, but I see a bright future for the Pirates now with the addition of Mr. Skeens. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about last week, how they should change the requirement that you have to pitch. The current requirement right now is you have to pitch a minimum of 5 innings in order to get the win. Now, as you know, average pitchers nowadays are only pitching 5 innings at best. It's a rarity to see pitchers go past 5 innings. So my thing is, maybe last week we talked about how they should maybe switch it to, in order to get the win, you have to pitch a minimum of 4 innings. Now, I always thought that if you leave and you're winning, I thought you should still get the win because, yeah, your team won, because I don't think Pittsburgh ever relinquished the lead, right, in that game?
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think they did. I mean, they these guys came back, but I don't think they took the lead after that. Like, I agree with you. I think that if a pitcher leaves the game in the second inning, who cares, right? And it's 8-0, right, because your team generated runs, and you get pulled. For whatever reason, because, you know, your mechanics fell off or you got hurt or whatever the reason is, I feel like if your team was winning at the point where you got pulled, you should still be able to, you know, get the W as a pitcher. I agree with you, you know. But, you know, they have these rules. These rules are old. And maybe, you know, in the future they'll change them. But I agree with you. I think that a pitcher goes in there, his team is winning. When he gets pulled, he should definitely be, you know, in lineup for the W. But no, you have to pitch at least 5 innings of baseball to be considered for the win. But I think you're right about that. Maybe in the future they'll change it, but for now, it is what it is. That doesn't mean he didn't have a great start. It just means that, you know, he was unable to get the win because of the rule in baseball. You know, we've been seeing a lot of young guys come up and debut, and Christian Scott was another one who had a pretty good start against Tampa Bay, but, you know, the Mets got swept by Tampa Bay. Christian Scott came in and, you know, he was able to perform and show what he has. And, he looks like he's the future of the team as well, being that, you know, we have a lot of old pitchers on our club right now, and, you know, they're not going to be around in the next 2 years, but Christian Scott seems like he's here to stay, you know? He just recently made his debut, his second outing of the season at Citi Field, and he was great, you know? But Charlie Morton and the Atlanta Braves came in, and the Mets were almost no hit, you know? They ended up with two hits, and they lost 4-1, but Scott, you know, was able to come in and show what he has. He pitched 6-plus innings. He was able to strike out an amazing player like Matt Olson 3 times during the outing. He had a 1-2-3 first inning with 2 strikeouts. You know, he was able to strike out 8 Braves. And that lineup is electric. And it's hard to, you know, come into a game and pitch against an elite team like that and show that, you know, you have confidence and show that you want to stay in the league, you know, because a lot of these players, they come up, you know, they do well in the AAA. And when they get to the major leagues, they're unable to perform, or the nerves get to them and they get sent back down. But it seems like Sky's going to stick around for a while. So I want to say welcome to the major leagues, guys. I think these guys are, you know, the future of the MLB, the future of baseball. And hopefully, you know, being that both of these guys throw over 100 miles per hour multiple times in a game, we would hope and pray that these guys don't get hurt and don't become another Tommy John candidate, you know? As you can see, over the last couple of years, a lot of these young pitchers and pitchers that throw over 100 miles per hour always end up getting hurt, and then they get shelved for like over a year, because it takes about a year to come back to the majors after that surgery. But a lot of these guys, you know, they get the surgery and they come back even better. But we don't want that. We don't want that for these two guys. We want these guys to be household names. We want these guys to, you know, be able to contribute to these clubs for the next couple of years while they're in their prime. And we hope them to, you know, we wish them the best.
Yeah, definitely. He had a good outing. His only one flaw was when he, against the Braves, he gave up a hit to Orlando Arcia that basically helped Atlanta get on the board. And after that, Atlanta took off. And Atlanta's one of those teams where you don't want to get behind, because once you get behind, especially when the Mets are not producing runs, and that's what you need in order to get the win. And it's frustrating as a fan watching, because I like this Scott kid. I think he's going to have a great future with the Mets. And he, you know, he did his part. He pitched a gem in my eyes. He did great, but they just couldn't get the runs. And unfortunately, he got the loss. But I wouldn't worry about it. He's going to continue to grow. And hopefully his next start, they can get a win for him, because it's really frustrating. Because, you know, all the Mets are asking him to do is say, listen, Scott, try to get out. Try to give us 5 innings at best. You know, 6 would be phenomenal. But if you can give us 5, great. But for now, he's doing great. I won't worry about it. It's just the Mets offense, man. I don't know if it's the weather, what it is. They just cannot score. It drives me crazy. I watched the game yesterday, you know, the other day, and, you know, they had like bases low, you know, man on first and second, no out, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they're having a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's interesting. But he's going to be great for the Mets. Like I said, he's like he's like with Beatty. You gotta be patient with him. Give him his time, let him work out his kinks,
and
hope the offense can get through. So it'll be interesting. I think you got a future starter in your hand, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, future number one starter. That's what it looks like. You know, hopefully it's, you know, continues to ramp up like that way, and we can build around that guy. I love the core. It's different now for us. It's like, you know, you have Beatty.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have Alvarez, who's out right now, and you have these young guys. You know, these guys are becoming the new core of the club. it almost seems like, you know, our old core, you know, Peter Alonso, you have McNeil, you know, these guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do anymore. It's almost like they gave up on the team or they need a fresh start, you know. I feel like Alonso isn't producing the way he's supposed to, and I feel like he has a lot of pressure, you know. And I read a report the other day. It's a rumor, but apparently he gave up on a $158 million extension to keep him from going free agent, right? Going into free agency. So apparently he feels like if this is a true rumor, if this is true and it's not a rumor, then he feels like he's worth a lot more. And I don't know if, you know, denying contract like that and saying, you know, I feel like I'm worth a lot more, it's causing him to have these problems now, you know, because now he's playing for, you know, money. He's not playing to win. I feel like he's playing for money. And McNeil, I just can't understand. McNeil was one of the greatest contact hitters 2 years ago. He was able to win the batting title. And for some reason now, I feel like, you know, he's struggling as well. Marte's struggling. Marte's on his way out, you know. I know for a fact that he won't be playing with us next year because, you know, we have an influx of young guys that can play out there. And we need to change the core of this team to be able to compete and succeed. But I'm almost ready to say that McNeil and Alonso are done with New York and they need a fresh start elsewhere. And, you know, it's sad to say because these are homegrown players and, you know, these are the players that you root for. These are the players that, you know, you end up loving because they've been there so long and you end up experiencing their journey. But I feel like they're no longer a good fit for New York, being that, you know, we are the richest, you know, team in baseball and we have the money, but we don't want to build a championship that way. We want to build a championship caliber team through the youth and the farm system, you know. And we all know for a fact that players that come up, you know, from the farm system is a better way to build a championship than buying a championship, you know, because you don't know what this, you know, high caliber player that used to play for a random team coming to New York is going to be able to do. We're not 100% sure they're going to be able to produce, you know. We're not every player is Juan Soto. You know, Juan Soto can play for any team in baseball and not let him, you know, it doesn't get to him. He's able to produce no matter where he lands. He doesn't care, you know. Just make sure I have my bats ready and he's going to come and produce for you, you know. There's a lot of players that can't do that. You know, it depends on where they play and the energy and the clubhouse. But Juan Soto is one of those players that can play anywhere. We've seen him do it multiple times. He played for Washington. He played for San Diego. He was able to move over to the Yankees and play in this big, you know, spotlight and still be able to produce and be an everyday player that, you know, you can count on. But I feel like the Mets have to really sit down and think about whether or not Alonso is worthy of a big contract here in New York because he seems to not be able to produce right now at the moment. He's gone through a lot of bad streaks and, you know, especially in pivotal moments in the game. And I guess that pressure is really getting to him. You know, it's a walk-off year and he has to produce, make sure his numbers are right so he can, you know, get a big contract. And I think that's really getting to him mentally. But that's just my opinion, you know. I'm not up there struggling every day, trying to figure it out, trying to be competitive in baseball. I'm just watching as one of the biggest fans in baseball and, you know, grading my team on a daily night, you know. It's hard, you know. So who am I to say Peter Alonso isn't a lifelong Met, you know? What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, I think I also think he's, you know, as you know, Peter Alonso is a client of Scott Boras. So in his mind, he's like, yes, I got one of the best. I have one of the best one of the best agents that can get me a big contract. So he's like, well, I think as long as I can produce above what I'm, you know, they predict me to do, then I should be able to get a I should be able to get a Matt Olson or a Freddie Freeman type of contract. But I don't think he's as good as they are.
He's not.
I think Alonso just has a better bat than they do, but defensively, I think the Olson and Freeman just have better defensively. And I think he's matching his, he's comparing himself to those guys because and see what they got. And he's hoping he can get around that ballpark as far as money goes. But I don't know if he's going to get it. The season's still young. You know, Pete seems to do better when it's warmer outside. It's still pretty cold in New York. You know, I always joke around. I say it doesn't really start feeling like summer in New York until it's like the end of May. You know, the warmer, the, you know, every day it's going to be consistent. Every day, you know, you're going to be in the 80s, where right now it's like 1 week it's 50 degrees, next week it's 60. You know, it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you know, the ball travels in the summertime because the air is a lot thinner. So I don't know what to see. I don't know why he's struggling. I like Pete. I think he's be great. I want him to do well because my hope for the Mets would be that he's doing so well, but the team isn't doing well, in the hopes that they could trade him for some level one or level two tier prospects. And then you get those prospects in return in the trade. And then in the offseason, you can say, okay, come back, because now the Mets have the money and the ownership to sign him right back if they want him back, assuming they don't go after Soto in the offseason. So we shall see. I'm not going to worry about it yet. Like I said, you know, baseball is one of the sports where we as fans tend to want to live in the moment because every day is a game. You know what I mean? So it's easy to not, it's easy to live in the moment, you know. Every game is important, you know. A loss, you know, a loss today could bring you, you know, six games behind the Phillies, or a win today could bring you three games behind the Phillies. You know, it's just, it's do or die, you know. It's every situation is different. But I think as the season gets long, as the season progresses and it gets warmer in New York, I think he'll do well. I want him to do well. Why? I want him to do get his contract. He's been an outstanding citizen, outstanding player for the Mets on and off the field. He's class act. He does everything right. He does everything you want him to be. He's like the Mets version of Aaron Judge or Derek Jeter.
I would agree.
You know, he comes to, you know, he comes to work. He brings, he's a lunch pail guy. He comes to work, does his job. He's not going to make a scene. You know, he goes, he's going to play where he needs to play. He's not going to question the manager's decision. So that's good. Like I said, it's May, what, 15th? I'm not going to worry about it. I understand why you as a Mets fan, Pablo, are concerned, because if he does well, for the most part, your offense does well, because the offense does feed off of his play and how he does.
Yeah, of course.
And everyone around him feeds off him. So if they say, well, if this guy's doing well, then I need to step up and do better at the plate. And so we'll see. I think he'll be good. I'm not going to worry about it. He's going to do well. Will he get his big contract? No. I think he'll get less than $150 million. I'd say it range between $120 and $130 is what he's going to get. It's kind of ludicrous that he rejected the $154 million that the Mets had offered him in the offseason. Yeah, but
it's a rumor, but I want to believe it's true. You know, Pete Alonso is the type of player that, you know, for some reason, pitchers are still scared of him at this point in the stage. You know, like, it's weird because I don't think he's a scary bat anymore. He used to be. All right. You have to understand that this guy, when he first came in, for the last 6 years, right, he's hit the most home runs in Major League history since he's been here, right? So he has the most home runs that in the whole league since he came in, right? All right. So you would want to call that a scary bat, right? At bat, right? For a pitcher, especially, right? So now, 80 to 90% of the pitches that are being thrown to Alonso are outside of the strike zone. So he should have a really high walk rate, but he doesn't because he swings at a lot of trash. All right. And like you said, it's hard for, you know, a fan to watch because we like to criticize our players and they're making so much money. And sometimes you can't understand why these players are swinging at balls outside of the strike zone, because, you know, like I always say, a walk is a hit in my eyes, you know, because you didn't produce an out, you're on base, and the next guy comes up and maybe you guys can score, you know, You need to score runs to win a ball game, right? But for some reason, I feel like Alonso is trying to do something completely different. Is he no longer a team player? Like, is he trying to, like, you know, build up his stats so he can get the money? Like, he looks like a head case up there at bat. And it's interesting and to watch from, you know, as a fan, when you're watching these games at the feet, you know, at Citi Field, or you're watching the games at home, and you see that there's a opportunity to score a run and Pete Alonso's up the bat, you feel like he's not doing the right thing at the time. You know, it is a team sport, you know, so your objective is to get these runners across, right? And I feel like he's not thinking that way at this point. But we'll see, like you said, when the weather gets, you know, better and, you know, he has more at-bats under his, you know, resume, maybe he'll, you know, be able to contribute properly. But at this point, I'm almost ready to say we have to start looking at different ways to win. And I don't think Alonso is the answer anymore. But I hopefully I'm wrong. I would love to see Pete in a Mets uniform for the rest of his career. It's going to be hard seeing him, like, you know, move on and wear a different jersey and be able to produce for a different team. But we have to start looking at the future. We have to try to figure out what's best for our team, you know? And I don't think Alonso is the answer right now. But like you said, let's give it some time and let's see what happens. The Mets, you know, they went to Tampa Bay to play the Rays, and we got swept by the Rays. Granted, they were all close games. For some reason, the Mets play really well, or excuse me, let me backtrack. The Mets pitch really well against big teams, teams that have a lot of assets and produce a lot of runs. But when the Mets pitch against these type of teams, they're able to stop the bleeding. They're able to stop the runs from coming in, and they stay competitive in these games due to the pitching. And it's funny because at the beginning of the year, when, you know, you look at the paper and you say, wow, these guys have a great lineup, they should be able to produce a lot of runs, but they aren't doing that. And everybody at the beginning of the year was saying, oh man, our pitching sucks. And it's been the complete opposite, which is crazy to me because, all right, so if we look good on paper for hitting and we have mediocre pitching according to the newspapers and all these big companies that, you know, write about the ball clubs, and it's been the complete opposite, we should be able to win a lot of games this way, right? Because all the news reports.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Brothers were wrong about the pitching. Because the pitching has been amazing. The pitching has been there. The pitching has been able to compete. And no run support for these pitchers, you know? So can you imagine being a pitcher in a Mets clubhouse and giving your all and not being able to win a game because you were unable to produce runs? That's crazy to me, especially against big teams. And that's what bothers me, you know? Because, you know, we played the Dodgers. We played, you know, Atlanta in that first series. We were able to compete against a lot of good teams, but I don't know. Like, we went into Tampa Bay, we got swept. Then we ended up playing St. Louis in the second series, and they won that series, but the last game was postponed. So it's one of those series where you say, oh, you know, that rubber match wasn't played, so we could have probably lost that game too, you know? And then Atlanta, you know, they're Atlanta. Atlanta is able to produce throughout the whole game. They play amazing baseball. They have great pitching. Defense is immaculate. It's hard. You know, all we're doing is tanking. losing these, you know, really close games, and we're becoming bottom feeders, you know? It sucks. Contreras, Wilson Contreras was hurt because J.D. Martinez swung and destroyed this guy's forearm. So he ended up getting surgery, you know, on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, to, repair that fractured arm. And he's going to be off, I believe, 8 to 9 weeks. This is what I read. But I don't know. How about Baltimore? How's Baltimore doing?
Baltimore is doing good. This week, this past week, who they play? I'm trying to remember who they played. Give me a sec. Let me look. Baltimore this past week played the Arizona Diamondbacks at home. They took 2 out of 3 against them. And they also played earlier in the week, they played Cincinnati and they played Washington. And that Washington series was in Washington, and they split that game. They split that series 1-1. Washington, man, watching that game against Washington, they are a tough out. They're really surprisingly good team. They're a bunch of nobodies, but they play tough. They're going to fight to the end. I would not be surprised if Washington is on the outside looking in for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I believe it.
Arizona, man, we took 2 out of 3 from Arizona. Arizona, I really thought they'd be a lot more competitive. They were a World Series team. It's just amazing how they've, I don't know if they're a one-hit wonder, what it is. I know they got Jordan Montgomery this past offseason, but for some reason they're just not doing what they were doing last year. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, so Baltimore for the week went 3-1. So it was a good week for them. They have a 9-game homestand versus it started off with Arizona, and they finished with Seattle. So we'll see how they do. Corbin Burns kind of been struggling. He hasn't gotten the wins in the starts he's had recently, but they're still in first place. They're fighting with the Yankees. Actually, no, they're behind the Yankees currently. Yankees have 2 more wins than Baltimore, but Baltimore has 2 more less losses than the Yankees. So by percentage, Yankees are still ahead.
Yeah, I got you.
But you know, unfortunately, because the Yankees are so good, it forces Baltimore to stay winning, continue winning, because every game you lose, it seems like as soon as you lose, the Yankees just continue to win. And that's why I said when prior to the season I had the Yankees winning the division.
I say that the Yankees have to fight if they want to even be able to compete with the likes of Baltimore. I think Baltimore is the divisional winner, and the Yankees have to do something spectacular to even be able to compete and take over that division. I know you see it the other way around, but you know, years of competition, years of being a Baltimore fan, you see it the complete opposite way. But I see it as that's Baltimore's division, and it's up to the Yankees to decide whether they want to take over and compete. But I think that Baltimore's the better club, and the Yankees have to show up, you know? You see it the other way. But I understand why you do, you know? It's like saying, is Atlanta going to win the division? Of course, the Atlanta's going to win the division. But, you know, we have a lot to talk about on this podcast today, you know, because we're going to be talking about the Phillies and what they've been able to do this year early on, because they usually start off late and then they ride the wave and they sneak into the playoffs. And they're a really good ball club, you know. They're older. They have a lot of older players, but they gel well. And they have a lot of big guys that can produce and be great on any given night.
But yeah, the Philadelphia's, they had a home game last week on Wednesday. And they were playing the Blue Jays. And going into that game on Wednesday, they had a 12-game winning streak.
It would have been 12.
They had an 11-game winning streak going on the line. And if they had won, they would have won 12 in a row. And unfortunately, they ended up losing the game. But it didn't matter because currently they still have the best record in the majors. mm-hmm. at like 30 and 13, I believe, is the current record as we speak, as of today. And, you know, it's amazing because now the Mets are playing the Phillies in a 4-game home and home, 2 in New York and 2 in Philadelphia. They took 2 from New York. So it'll be interesting to see how they do back home. But, you know, the thing that I always underestimate about Philadelphia is their starting rotation. I can't believe how good they have been. Zach Wheeler's been amazing. Jordan, Taiwan Walker, he's had a decent year. He hasn't been amazing like he was last year for them, but he's holding up his weight, you know. Yeah,
he will be. And Nola. Oh, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you had, and I myself had Atlanta winning that division, but Atlanta's kind of reeling a little bit. They've kind of fallen off a little bit, but they took 2 out of 3 from New York, up in New York. And then prior to that, they were on the road and they faced the Boston at home. They came home for 2 games against Boston. They won those 2 games against Boston. And they had won those games. And then they came to New York and took 2 out of 3. But as long as Philadelphia keeps winning, it's hard to catch up to a team who has 11-game winning streak. It doesn't matter, yeah, even if you keep winning.
Yeah, they have to lose. If they don't lose, then they're stuck.
In the game that they did lose, in the game when Boston Philadelphia had lost, Atlanta did win, so they did gain a game against them.
Yeah, but, that's the thing about baseball. Like, those divisional games are so important. Okay, you have to understand that. You know, people forget that. When you play a team that's hot and you're trying to come up in the standings in a division, those games are super important. They're almost World Series, you know, type of games. You know, as for that team that's struggling and doing well, right, trying to come up in the rankings, when you're down 10 games and you're playing the Phillies and they're up by 11, you have to take that series. You have to play your best baseball at this point. Because if you don't, then forget about it. You know how hard it is to come back from that? I don't think the Mets have a chance to catch the Phillies anymore. And they definitely don't have a chance to catch Atlanta. It's going to be a race between Philly and Atlanta all the way down. And may the best team win. But I think the Phillies found themselves very early in the season. And I think they have a shot to win. And this is without Trey Turner, who's their best hitter. And one of their fastest guys in the game, you know. They have a really great lineup, you know. Trey Turner is amazing. You have Bryce Harper, who's a very scary at-bat. You have Nick Castellanos. You have Real Muto. I was watching a Phillies game the other day, and it's pretty impressive because this guy is probably faster than anybody on the Mets ball club. And he's a catcher. This guy sits on his knees for the whole game, and he's able to outrun the majority of the Mets. You know, that's crazy to me. He speeds down that line. They have a lot of good chemistry. Then you have Kyle Schwarber, you know, who's, you know, been having back problems lately, but hopefully he's not, you know, completely out of it. They don't put him on a 15-day IL, you know, but this guy, you know, He's electric too. You know, he's a Mets killer. He's known at Citi Field as a Mets killer. You know, when he played for the Nationals, he used to kill us, and now he's a Philly. He's still killing us. This guy is so good. They have a really good ball club. And, you know, when you line those 4 guys up, not including Turner, you know, because Turner's out right now, but when you line up Bryce Harper, Castellanos, Real Muto, and Schwarber, how scary is that? Think about it. That's a run producing machine. They've been scoring over 8 runs for a while now, you know, in each game, because they have the at-bats, you know. They have these guys that are coming to produce, you know. And being that they started early this year instead of, you know, being, you know, a slow starting team, they're gonna win a lot of games this year, and they're gonna qualify for that first slot in the division. It's gonna be crazy. I don't think that Atlanta, you know, can compete with these guys right now at the moment. But you know how baseball is. There's over 100-something games left in the season, and anything can happen. But I think Philly's moving in the right direction. They've been doing this for the last couple of years. They've been coming into the postseason via wild card and staying around for a long time. So watch out. Watch out.
They're Philadelphia's lineup is just as scary as Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, you know, they got the stars, Acuna, Albies, Olsen, Kalenic. I just think Philadelphia has a better lineup, you know, and then it's safe to say that that contract that they gave Bryce Harper, it's paying off pretty well. Like, he's actually, like, lived up to his contract so far. Well, he's, what, 3 years into the contract, I believe? I forget. It's a 10-year contract, which is ludicrous. I would never give players that much money. I mean, that many years. It's just because these guys aren't – no player's going to last that long. Just give these guys 5-year contracts and give them what they want. That's what I would do. But teams do it that way because that's how they can eat up the money per year so they can sign other players every year in the offseason. But, yeah, Philadelphia's tough. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. I always say it's between Philadelphia and the Braves. It just everyone picked the Braves because they won the division the last, what, 4 years, 5 years that they've won the division in a row?
Yeah.
So that's why I picked them. But, man, ever since, you know, they got rid of Girardi and they got this guy Thompson as their coach. He used to be, I think, the hitting coach or the bench coach for the Yankees under Girardi. And he's been great, man. He's got the best out of his guys. And Realmuto has been amazing for, you know, that was a big contract, too, at the time.
I thought, yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. Because he was good in Miami. He had a good time. He was good in Miami. And I was like, he wasn't amazing to me. I wouldn't have given that much money. But Philadelphia knew something that I didn't know. And it seems to have worked out. So.
Yeah, Bryce Harper helped a lot with that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Because the Mets went after Realmuto. I remember that when he went into free agency, right?
I remember that, yes.
We ended up with McCann, who was the second best choice, but let's be real here. Realmuto is that guy you want on your ball club. You want him calling the games. You want him behind the plate, you know, catching these guys. And like I said, yo, he's a monster. And they have a really good ball club. They surrounded themselves with great talent. Like I said, they're veterans. You know, they're probably one of the oldest teams in baseball right now at the moment, if you think about it. You know, but they know how to play baseball. They play pretty good baseball. And I think that they're showing signs of being able to take the division and going into, like, you know, a number one seed type deal. You know, okay, you have the Dodgers out there, but for a team like Philadelphia, you have to worry. You have to worry, you know, because like I said, money doesn't buy championships. But these guys have been around together for a while, and they know how to play baseball, you know. And it's funny because Schwarber is kind of like what the fans think Alonso is. But, you know, because Schwarber doesn't hit for average, but he produces, you know. This is what he does, all right. So in 2022, Schwarber hit 46 home runs, 94 RBIs, right? And then he followed that up the next year with 47 home runs and 104 RBIs. All right, so he's producing a lot of runs, right? And he's a threat. And he plays almost every single game, you know? In both of those seasons, he played at least 155 games, all right? So he shows up every day and he produces. These guys hit the ball hard, you know? They have the best winning percentage right now in the National League at .697. And they're competing for that division, you know? And it's a four-team division, by the way, because, you know, you have to realize that the Marlins already gave up and they traded their best pieces and they're not even in the competition. So it's a four-team division, all right? And like you said, Washington is you know, they seem to have figured it out, and they're playing competitive baseball, and they're getting better as we speak. But I don't think the Mets have a chance between the Phillies and Atlanta. They are definitely not going to win the division. Maybe they can sneak in if they figure it out as a wild card. But, you know, I like the Phillies. I really do. You know, every week from this point on, this is episode 8 in the podcast, we're going to be dissecting a different team. You know, teams moving in the right direction, and we're going to try to speak about why we feel they're moving in the right direction and what they're doing to contribute to the competition in the league. Because you have to understand, like we said earlier, before the season starts, we kind of know who's going to make it to the postseason and who's not, based on what they did the year prior to that and the type of ball club they had and the offseason moves, obviously. But you can kind of like pick out the teams, you know. And if you pick 10 teams that you think are going to the postseason, right, and you miss them by two or three teams here because there was a surprise along the line, but you pretty much know. It's like in every other sport, you know. You kind of know where the league is going and who's going to be competitive and who's not. But we're going to try to, you know, bring the news to you guys, and we're going to try to figure out, you know, who's doing well and what changes were made for them to be able to be competitive in the league. And, you know, that's our mission. Our mission is to keep it interesting and to help you guys understand the game of baseball a little better. So we have the slugger of the week, and I'm going to let you do the honors.
Slugger of the week was the Philadelphia, as we've been talking about the Phillies, the hottest team in baseball. And their slugger of the slugger of the week for this week would be Bryce Harper. At 24 bats, he had 9 hits, 1 double, 3 home runs, and 11 RBIs with 2 walks and only 5 strikeouts. Ooh. You would think, it's crazy, because you would think other teams would be like, all right, let's just stop pitching to this guy. Let's just walk him and just move on. But nope, they seem to not get it and just keep pitching to him. And he seems to continue to bite the pitches, you know, when they pitch to him. So good for him. He's had an amazing week. It's just amazing what he's done. And he's one of the reasons why they had that 11-game winning streak going into this past week. But anyway, with that being said, who's our gunslinger of the week?
Before we do that, I just want to say a couple of things about Bryce Harper. You understand that Bryce Harper is like one of the biggest sluggers in the game. And you have to understand, as a slugger, right, it's either over the fence or a strikeout. All right. So now, is Bryce Harper becoming like one of the greatest baseball players in the game as we speak, due to the fact that he swings for the fences, right, most of the time, right? And you have to understand that these sluggers have a high strikeout ratio, right? Because they swing so hard and they want to kill the ball so bad, right? That, you know, they have a super high percentage of, you know, strikeouts during the year. But for him to be able to produce like this, right, and have only 5 strikeouts, you have to remember how hard it is to be a slugger in the league, all right? And 5 strikeouts is nothing, all right? It's absolutely nothing, you know? Regular guys, contact guys, you know, strike out more than that in a span of 2 weeks, you know? So you have to understand that this is the type of player that can kind of carry a ball club, you know? And there's multiple players like him on the team already, all right? So this is why I feel like the Phillies are going in the right direction. And they've been showing it to us for the last 2 years. They've been showing us that the National League East is a beast. All right, and it's very hard, you know, not to notice things like this. But the gunslinger of the week is your man, Dylan Cease, right? And he pitched against the Cubs, and he went 7 innings, right, striking out 12, walking 2. And the Cubs were only able to produce 1 hit during that little session of his. 7 innings, 1 hit baseball. San Diego was able to win 3-0. All right, Dylan Cease was apparently he was very unhappy when he played for the White Sox. I read a report a couple of days ago where he felt like he wasn't able to compete on that team, and he felt like he wasn't going anywhere. Now, San Diego for the last couple of years prior to the death of their owner, you know, they tried multiple ways to win a championship. You know, they had a lot of big names. You know, they tried to get the pitching, and they had Soto under there, you know. They had Soto there. And
Machado,
you know, Tatis. You know, Tatis has had a lot of problems, but even still, you know, when he's on the field, he plays his heart out. And this team has been trying to figure it out for a while now, you know. It's understandable. They have to, you know, they're always in the shadow of the Dodgers. The Dodgers spend a lot of money. You understand that Blake Snell was there last year and he won the Cy Young for them. So they were trying to figure it out, and it wasn't like the numbers weren't showing. It's just that it's really hard to play in the shadow of a team like the Dodgers. But the addition of Dylan Cease is once again showing that this team wants to win. And this is what we want to see from our ball club. We want to see teams develop players from, you know, the farm system, and we want to see them bring in the right talent, you know, when it comes to free agency. We just don't want to spend all our money on all the free agents that won 15, 16 games in a year prior. It's not about that. It's about building and putting together the right team. And it seems like San Diego continues to try and strive, and, you know, they're living in the shadow of the Dodgers, but I think that, you know, once they figure it out, it'll be similar to what the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees are doing. You know, the Yankees know that Baltimore is here to stay, and they have a really young ball club, and they're not a joke. It's not a joke, you know. And once again, the Yankees did what they did. You know, they went for the, you know, the big talent, and they hope that it works out for them, but the Yankees core is getting really old, and they need to figure it out. But that being said, salute to Dylan Cease, and salute to the San Diego Padres for making a move like that and making him competitive again. Now, you know, we always like to drop a little trivia question on Lasha, because Lasha is a baseball genius. And this week's question is going to be, what team drafted Gerrit Cole, number one overall, in the 2011 MLB draft?
I'm going to go with, he's currently on the New York Yankees.
Yes.
Currently, he's on the IL.
Reigning champion of the Cy Young Award.
Yep, Cy Young winner. By far the best pitcher for the Yankees. They hope to get him back by mid-June, July, maybe. We shall see. But my guess would be the great Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole, yeah. So who was the team that drafted him?
The team that drafted him was the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That is correct. And, you know, we gave you a lot of hints throughout the show, too, you know, because we talked about Skings and, you know, his debut. And it's funny. I said, you know, let me see if Lasha catches on, you know, and remembers that Mr. Cole played and was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's 100% correct. You got that one. You won that one. You've been doing well when it comes to trivia. You're pretty good at it. This is why we keep, you know, next week I'm going to try to trump you for sure. But we're coming to the, you know, the end of the show. And we're going to say we have a really, really exciting, you know, podcast coming up. It's a special edition one, and it's all about how we think the season is too long, and how we're gonna try to, you know, it's like a proposal to the league, you know. And Lasha and I, we've been working on this little podcast, and this specific podcast to be exact, right? And we haven't told each other what we're proposing, so it's gonna be super interesting, because we have no idea what each other, what we're going to say, you know, because I drafted something up. He drafted a proposal, and we're going to, you know, drop the proposals, and we're going to try to figure out what makes sense. We want to make the season a little bit more exciting, right? So obviously less games, right? And obviously the owners are going to be upset, because they're going to lose a lot of money, because even for like a losing ball club, you know, if you shorten the season by 80 games, we're talking about a lot of money. And we're going to try to figure out a way for them to be happy when it comes to that and try to make the season a little bit more exciting, you know? But stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up shortly in a couple of days. And, you know, we appreciate the fan base out there, you know, been checking stats and numbers. And apparently we have, you know, some listeners out there, you know, in Europe. We have a lot of guys here on the East Coast, the West Coast, pretty much all over, you know. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in. And we'll see you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.